Christian greetings to each of you today in the name of Jesus. Another wonderful privilege to worship together and share together around God's Word. Grace and Greta are two Christian ladies that go to church together and were friends for many years. They both had families. They both were extremely busy moms and both felt at times the overwhelming feelings of motherhood. And both of these ladies also carried a heavy load caring for extended family members, and they both enjoyed each other's friendship. Greta was a person that tended to focus on her feelings and her inadequacies, and she would often reach out to Sister Grace for encouragement and advice on how to relate to life. And Greta especially admired Grace's stability in relating to life and the advice that she would give her and the calmness that she brought into her experience. And they were friends for many years, continued to relate, but a number of years later, Greta told Grace that, you know, she said, when I get up in the morning, I think about the three things that you told me, Grace, that you think about in the morning. And I know you told me that you have those three things posted on your mirror when you comb your hair in the morning. And she said, I still think of those pretty often when I get up. Number of years later. And so the experience and the relationship of these two ladies had an influence and encouraged them. Influence is something that we all face and we all relate to. Some influence is positive in our lives and some influence is negative. I also recently read about a young family man that their family was young, they were facing the rigors of life and the rigors of raising a family, and you know, there's just the reality is that in growing families and getting established in community and business and work, there's just often not a lot of extra cash around. And this man, this family man, he had an older Ford pickup, and one day he was driving to work and he was just thinking about how good this pickup has been to him and that it's really served him well and he hopes it lasts a long time yet, and it's just really done well. It's a good solid truck. And literally about just a few weeks later, he was driving to work one day and he went past the local used car lot, and they had a nice newer pickup on the lot, and he looked at that and he liked it, and he said, wow, that's just really a nice pickup. And as he drove back and forth from work in the coming days, his mind went to his pickup, and all of a sudden he started hearing noises at his pickup that he hadn't really heard for a while. And he'd think about the age and what year it was, and you know, this thing is just going to give out one of these days, and it's just not that good of a truck, and maybe we should look at buying this other pickup even though we don't have the money for it. He knew that, he admitted that in his own mind. But so after he thought about this for a little, he talked to his wife one evening about it, and she, after a while, she looked at him and she said, so you saw this other pickup and you're no longer satisfied with your own. She said, just a week and a half ago, you were telling me one evening about how good your pickup is and how it's doing so well. And all of a sudden, this man realized that he had allowed this pickup on the lot that caught his attention. And it was nice, and it was a better truck than he had. But when he set his mind on that and became dissatisfied with what he had, he started reading things into his existing pickup truck that really probably didn't exist. Influence. And so this young family man was influenced. He allowed his own thoughts and his own desires to cause him to think things that he knew weren't necessarily true or of wisdom. And his wife helped to bring him back to reality. Influence. The title of the message is The Power of Influence. And there's a number of different titles I thought about. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Psalm 1. Another title that could give this message is the inevitable reality of influence. And one of the points that I want you to think about and catch as we go through this sermon is that influence is a good thing. It can be negative, but it's also positive. And it's also inevitable that we avoid influence, either influence on us and our thinking or the influence that we have on others. We'll look at that as we go along. But here in Psalm 1, I like to read verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so we have in verse 1 this progression. Of the man that walketh not. In other words, it's highlighting, it's blessing a godly man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, neither does he stand in the way of sinners, nor will he sit in the seat with the scornful or of the scornful. And so it's this progression of walking with and sitting down with or standing with and then sitting down with. And you see that progression. And the progression of comfortableness with ungodly friends. And the psalmist is saying that the godly man doesn't walk that way. He's not okay with that. He's alert to those things. And this progression, we see an increased relaxation and fellowship in this circle. And as picture with me this picture that he's giving. And as a man becomes, you know, he walks with them, and then he stands with them, and then he's sitting down. And they're sharing together and relaxing together and talking together. And that progression feeds and allows for admiration to grow. And so your buddies, your people you're becoming comfortable with, are also those people that you admire. And you admire their stories, and you admire what they're doing, and you admire maybe their pickup trucks. And you know how, and so he's saying here that in this circle, it allows for increased admiration. And when we increase our admiration, or as our admiration increases for someone else or something else, the level of influence increases as well. And we allow that influence of whether it's people, whether it's things, to impact our thoughts and our decisions. And then we have this, well, he says in verse 2 that a godly man is not going to be okay. He's not going to be comfortable. And verse 2 says, but his delight, on the other hand, is in the law of the Lord. It's in the word of God. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And so that guides his decisions and guides his life. And that's where he finds his greatest satisfaction and, we could say, admiration. And so because of that, the word of God has the influence and the impact in his life that God intends it to serve. And then verse 3, this godly man that knows where to draw the lines with the world and with sinners and the ungodly, and this man that not only knows how to keep himself separate, but he also knows where to find his inspiration for his own soul, he's going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. He's going to be a fruitful tree, and his leaf shall not wither, but he will prosper. And he compares that tree to chaff. And he says that the chaff is compared to the ungodly. And what does chaff do? Blows around in the wind. It's easily influenced and easily moved about and by the wind. In Hebrews chapter 10, just another thought in relation to influence. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 through 25. And I should say this, that, you know, when you think about the scriptures, the Bible is made up of stories and accounts of how people related to God and to his people and how God related to man. And the New Testament is practical teaching on salvation, practical teaching on everyday living and how we should get along with each other, and the list goes on and on. And in all of that is the acceptance of the fact that we are easily influenced by things, and there are influences that come upon the Christian that they need to be on guard, that we need to be on guard about. And it also is talks a lot about how we relate to others and the influence that we have. And the New Testament is full of examples and verses that could illustrate this point. And my mind went to these verses where he says that we need to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, and thinking about the influence that goes out from our lives. And he says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And so in verse 23, he says that we need to hold fast this profession of faith, and we need to do it without wavering. And it tells us that and teaches us that there is a pressure upon us to relax our faith and to become lukewarm and to just give up in our faith. We need to hold fast this profession. We need to hold fast the declaration, the testimony of our faith. In a couple weeks, Lord willing, we'll receive Brother Caleb and we'll baptize him, and he will answer some questions, and he will be baptized upon the confession of his faith. And in his life already, but as he goes from that point, he will experience the pressure to relax in that faith and that commitment. We all face it. And so he says, he calls us to holding fast because of this pressure that we face. In verse 24, we have this word, consider one another, consider. And it means to be aware of and to be concerned about each other. It means that we actually observe each other and we see the needs that others have. We care enough to do something about it. He says to consider one another and to provoke. Now that word provoke, we normally use it in a negative way, and it actually, the Greek word can mean that as well, to encourage anger, incite anger. But it also means to encourage and to motivate toward. And so he's saying that we need to consider one another, we need to be aware of each other's needs, of our weaknesses, and our lives need to be that which encourages love and good works within the brotherhood. That's the context here. It's within the brotherhood. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And it brings a balance to this idea, this thought that I need to be aware of others' needs and I need to encourage them. It's right. God intended it to be that way. But I think maybe that what he's saying here is that before we get any idea that we know it all, he says, remember that you need the church brotherhood yourself. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You need that we, each of us needs the encouragement from the group. And we need the influence from our church family and from the group in our lives. And so we need to exhort one another as we gather together and share together and work together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I like to just look at a few observations about influence. One is that we are all influenced. Every one of us is. And, you know, we sort of, especially men, we strive for to be a tree. We strive to be like a tree that's unmovable and that stands firm. Our wives look to us to be that solid, not wishy-washy person in their life and an influence in their life. And so we sort of, especially as men, we sort of value, we sort of look up and admire what we consider someone that's just unmovable and staunch and firm, not easily convinced. And sometimes, you know, someone will come up with a story that sounds kind of far-fetched, and there's men that'll fall for it, and there's men that'll say, I don't believe it. And let's remember that every one of us is influenced, every one of us. It doesn't matter how strong, how smart, how tree-like we are all influenced, and someone is influencing each one of us. We are influenced through our five senses, you know, our sight and our ears and our smell and our taste. We are influenced. Our decisions and our thinking are influenced by those things that come into our mind through our senses, physically, spiritually, socially, mentally. And we process these influences. And you know, we either invite the Holy Spirit into our mind and into our thoughts and into our life. We either invite the Holy Spirit to help us to process these influences, or we simply allow our flesh to interpret them and to guide us in how we think and how we feel and how we're going to respond to the influences that come in to our minds and to our life, to our body, through our senses. Secondly, we are all influencers. We are all influenced, number one, and secondly, we are all influencers. Now, this word influencer is a rather new word, at least for me. And, you know, maybe in the news you read about someone and they're labeled an influencer. And I remember the first time I read that, I was like, what's an influencer? A couple things. The term influencer took hold in America between 2015 and 2016. While the word itself dates back centuries, it was a word for a long time. It became popularized in the modern sense during this period as bloggers and YouTubers transitioned into everyday brand ambassadors, causing the title to explode in marketing decks and job descriptions. And a little bit of the timeline, in the 1970s into the 2000s originally, utilized as a sociological and political term, for instance, the U.S. Army used this term, the influencer, in 1979 to describe someone who could steer youths toward military service. He was an influencer. By the mid-2000s, it referred to affluent, exclusive socialites who drove consumer trends. In the early 2010s, the rise of YouTube and Instagram created a democratization of influence, allowing everyday content creators to build large, loyal digital communities. 2015 and 16, the word solidified as a distinct career category, and this surge prompted the Federal Trade Commission in 2017 to release guidelines regulating social media influencers to clearly disclose paid corporate partnerships. And in 2019, this widespread cultural shift of influencer culture culminated in Merriam-Webster officially adding influencer to the dictionary. And so you see that trend. And this whole influencer mentality, I read one young person said that this girl said that she was a collared girl with long dregs or long hair, and she started enjoying playing with her hair, and she would post videos of herself, and after a while other people would take pictures of her and her hair and put them on YouTube. And she said that one day I realized that these videos that other people were taking of her and putting on YouTube were gathering lots of views and lots of attention. And she said, I realized that, you know what, I could make money on this. And so she started her own channel, and people took to it, and people were noticing it, and she had lots of likes and started collecting money for these likes and these views. And after a while, businesses, clothing manufacturers and so on, noticed it, and it got their attention, and they contacted her for using her in their advertisements. And the thing just, she said, all of a sudden I was in a world of making lots of money and becoming popular. And influence, it just helps us to see a bit of what's happening in our modern world. One person said that a modern day influencer is a digital creator who builds a dedicated, engaged audience on social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. And they differ from traditional celebrities by growing platforms through direct, relatable community interaction rather than pre-existing fame. And so what they're simply saying there is that there were always these influencers, but it may have been the fellow that was on a billboard that a company used, and he was there. Nobody really knew who it was. And you didn't really learn to know his personal life. And today, with digital media, these men and these women that become famous and are used in advertising, they can put their blogs out there and they have their channels. And you don't really learn to know them, but they share their feelings and their struggles and their heartaches, and you, there's an emotional tie there that is fairly fake on most levels. Well, we'll just let that. And so we think of this term influence, or at least I do, as a bit of a worldly or a negative term, and I believe that's right. But each and every one of us, regardless of age, personality, ability, or intellect, has an influence on other people. Children look to their parents. As young children, they look to their parents and they believe that there's nobody else that's greater. I remember when I was about 5 years old, we lived on the edge of the town of Denver, out sort of in the country, but across the road was a cornfield. And I still remember the supper table where we got talking about, or my parents were probably talking about how tall the corn is. It had tasseled, and I don't know what was said, but I must have said something about, well, Dad, that you're definitely taller than what the corn is. And he said, no. He said, the corn's a lot taller than me. And so after supper was over, I can still picture my dad going out across the road, and I'm standing in there by the house, and he went over and stood beside the corn, and the corn was way taller than he was. And I remember how my heart just sank. I mean, I thought my dad was, yeah, he was the biggest person there was and the greatest person. That's just how children look at their parents, and it's the way God intends it to be. They have, and incidentally, of course, parents have a tremendous influence, and they can make their children believe anything. And of course, as godly parents, we teach them truth. Adolescents look to youth and believe that youth are, they just look up to them and they want to imitate them and do what they do. And so as youth, it's so important that you live a life that is a life that's above reproach, that someone else can follow. Young in the faith look to men and women that they consider to be faith pillars, and they look up to them. They want to be like them. They want to follow them. They want to grow in their faith. They want to become strong in their Christian life like someone else. And it's a way God, we are all influencers. And we all should be influencers. And it's God's plan, because God has established the principle that the younger are taught by the older. And as parents, we are called, we are responsible to teach our children. The law of God in the Old Testament was passed on from one generation to the other, to the next, by their parents, and by teaching them and training them. And so it's God's plan that we pass along truth and we pass along the faith, and that we are influencers of the gospel. Thirdly, we are easily influenced through our felt needs. And I'm simply sharing this because it's a reality, it's a fact, that we are so easily influenced by the things that we feel. You know, a lawnmower advertisement doesn't put a picture on of a man trying to get his mower deck off so he can sharpen the blades. It doesn't show a picture of him changing the oil. It doesn't show a picture of the garage being too full for the bigger mower and having to get a bigger storage shed. It doesn't show that. It shows a beautiful lawn that is just perfectly green, and it's their brand of lawnmower that's going to create that. And it's a felt need. You need this mower. You want a mower because you want your yard to look nice, not because you want more work. And marketing capitalizes on our feelings and our emotions. They want you to feel dissatisfied. And we're so easily drawn to decisions and making decisions based on our felt needs rather than real needs. And number four is that those that we admire will have an inevitable influence on our thinking and our decisions. And we see this today around us in the world, in the music, for instance. Unscriptural musicians and singers that we listen to, or if we listen to those, will definitely influence our thinking. There's no two ways about it. It will happen. In the sports realm, one of the reasons that we aren't okay with following sports and watching sports and attending professional sports events, one of the reasons is, among others, is that we will admire those in our minds, in our thinking. We will admire those that are popular and the winners and those that are doing well. And those that you admire will always have a subtle influence in your life. And so we subconsciously imitate those that we admire. And it's true of the positive, and it's true certainly of the negative influences. And fifthly, who you are is a result of influence in your life. And that's true for the positive, the good things in your life. And who we are today is a result of the influences that have come upon our life and our lives. Who we are as a church is a result of the influences. The influence of our past, the influence of our heritage, the influence of the Word of God, the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and giving direction and giving wisdom to us and directing us in our administrations and how we function and how we live and what we're okay with and what we're not okay with. It's a result of all these influences in our lives. And we need good influences. We need them. And it's just one of the beautiful things about the workings of God and the family of God and the Church of Jesus Christ is that you can come into the church, you can be a child of God without having had past good influences in your life. That you can. God can change your heart. He can pick you up. He can put some meaning into your life and the tangled strands . But even in that situation, and as you become a part of the heritage of faith, even those individuals are then a product of many, many good influences. I think about it oftentimes at a wedding and a baptismal service. And I usually pray for the families. And I also pray and thank God for all the good influences they've been into these people's lives. And we can't underestimate the good influence that has come into our lives. And so our decisions, our spirituality, our appearance, our possessions, our purchases, our vehicles, our home life, our marriage, our respect for authority, and the challenges that we face in those areas are all a product of the influences that come into our life. And our success in those areas and the peace and the rest and the happiness that we enjoy is also a result of godly influence. And so these are two facts that none of us can avoid, and it's foolish for us to believe that we're exempt. We are all influenced by others, and we are all influencers. Some questions that are good for us to think about. One is allowing ourselves to be influenced a sign of unhealthy vulnerability? I touched on that some already. I'm not going to necessarily answer these, but you think about these questions. Is it healthy or unhealthy to perceive ourselves as people of great influence? Can we really evaluate our personal influence on others? Is that something it's really possible for us to evaluate our individual influence that we have on others? Can we avoid all negative influence? We'll look at this in just a bit. Jesus said in John 17 that we are in the world but not of the world. And we'll look at that a bit. But can we avoid all negative influence? What are indicators that we are being harmfully influenced? Or maybe yielding to harmful influence. Of course, there in Psalm 1, we looked at the progression. And is there a difference between standing and sitting? Is there a difference? I'd like to just go back there to Psalm 1 and just think just for a moment about this, the tree. The difference between a tree and chaff. And we say, well, there's just hardly any likeness, really. This tree that he's picturing is a strong tree. The roots are deep. It's a fruitful tree. And he says that the leaves will not wither. And he The next statement is directed to the man that this is tree is compared to, and it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's like this tree. He's like this tree. And so godly men are those who are firm, are strong, not easily swayed, not easily influenced by negative impacts. This man that's like this tree is a man who is able to, or takes the time and realizes the need to think through things and think through pressures and think through invitations that come. And he's able to make wise decisions. And he says in verse 4 that the ungodly are not this way, and they're like chaff. And it's simply chaff. We know how it is. Chaff is just, it's the light straw, or it's the hulls that are on the grain. And there they are when you're combining or you're threshing grain, or there's a pile of chaff and the breeze comes along and it just takes it away. And there's just no stability whatsoever, none. And chaff isn't really worth very much either. And that's the contrast. And so, how is our life? Are we a tree, or are we like chaff? I'd like to just notice a couple of traits of a positive influence. I only have a few thoughts here. But how can we be good influencers? How can we be a tree? How does God want us to relate? First of all, is that we need to be godly. We need to be godly. Godliness needs to, and God-likeness and Christ-likeness needs to envelop our lives. Just recently, and I can't even right now remember who it was. If I did, I wouldn't say it. But just recently, in the last couple weeks, I remember telling someone, talking about an individual, and I remember telling another person that he is such a godly man. And when you hear that, what do you envision? What picture goes through your mind? Well, it's a man that's strong, a man that's kind, a man that is influenced and dictated by the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. A man that loves God's word, a man that loves people. A man that doesn't smile when a shady joke is told. He's a man he's just solid. Godly man. And let's remember this morning that your influence and my influence is and is limited to the real you. You will not have an influence beyond who you really are. It just doesn't happen. People that are phony, people that are not true, not real. You know, you can maybe fool people for a little, but not very long. And you see, you soon can determine, you soon can feel it, you can sense it, that, yeah, he's a man who tries to look right, tries to act right many times, but yeah, what are the jokes he laughs about? What is it? Godly man. And so, if we're going to have a positive influence, we need to be godly people. Love the Word of God. And allow the Word of God to mold and shape us. We need to be those who are transformed. This morning in our instruction class, the lesson was on separation, and we looked, one of the verses was Hebrews 12. Be not conformed to this world, and that word conformed means don't allow yourself to be pressed into a mold that looks like the world and shapes you like the world. And he says that we avoid that by having our minds transformed by the work of God in our heart. Secondly, another trait of a positive influence, or a trait necessary for a positive influence, is we need to be those who are serving. Have a serving heart, serving mentality. Not those who are complaining about the work God has called us to, not even complaining about the things that we volunteer to do, not even complaining about the things that we do because nobody else is doing it. We're people that serve. Thirdly, is humbly accepting others' input into our life. And I thought about this question of how vulnerable we are to others' thoughts and ideas, how much we're influenced by others, versus making our own decisions, standing on our own two feet, not being swayed too easily. You see, that has its positive when it comes to the pressures of the world. What about when it just comes to our own convictions and what we believe, and even our understanding of Bible doctrine? I believe that we need to be men, especially men who are not easily pushed around, and that we know what we believe. And yet, how do we balance that out with accepting other people's input in our life? Being a part of the brotherhood, enjoying our assemblies together, not forsaking that assembly. Well, we need to listen, and we need to hear what each other are saying. And it requires an humble attitude about our own thoughts, our own understandings. Doesn't mean that we easily change, but we listen to what others have to say. Fourthly, is that we must recognize unhealthy influence in our life. And I believe that this pressure is on each of us. Satan wants to tear us away. He wants to distract us. He wants to distort our thinking. And so this presses in upon each of us, and none of us are exempt. It's unhealthy influence that reaches in upon us. See, one of the things that we need to remember is that in our lives, in our personal lives, it's not only about shielding ourselves from all the unhealthy influence that we can perceive. The fact is that right within our own bosom, we have a heart, we have a human heart that, if left to itself, this unhealthy influence is right within us. We don't have to go outside the walls of our house to find it. And so we must recognize these unhealthy influences. It may come in reading material, in friends, social media, employment relationships, etc., etc. But I believe that if we're going to be a positive influence for God's kingdom, we must be on guard and recognizing unhealthy influences in our life. Jesus said in John 17 that we are in the world, but not of the world. I referred to this already. And worldly pressure at some level is inevitable. And Jesus said, pray to the Father that he would keep them, he would keep us from the evil that is in the world, implying that there are pressures that are going to press in upon. And we must be alert. Being like a tree planted maybe allows for interaction and friendly conversation. You see, even a simple work like handing out tracts in the city, for instance, taking a group to New York City or going along with the group to New York City, and I love those times, but we go right into the face of the world. Quite a number of years ago, we were in Pensacola, Florida, to preach there for a weekend. And Saturday evening, some of the men wanted to go into the city on a Saturday night and evangelize and hand out tracts and share the gospel. And we went, we're on the street, right across the street from a nightclub. I'll tell you, I was a farm boy, and there wasn't much of the city life that I had ever seen in my life. And I saw things that night. I saw a lifestyle that night that I never knew existed. And you see, unless we are like a tree, unless we are rooted in God's word and God's love, and unless we have a clear understanding and acceptance of the fact that we are not a part of the world and that we're separate from the world, those kinds of things can go with us and influence us in the wrong direction even. And so we must be like a tree, and maybe some standing with the world and working with the world. There are men who can work with ungodly men in their employment, and there are some men who couldn't handle that. And we need to be alert to these pressures in our lives and the effect it may have on us or is having on us. Maybe some indicators of unhealthy, of yielding to unhealthy influence. It could be, well, I have these in question form. Are you growing in your admiration of your redemption and your desire for the Word of God? Are you growing in that? As you look back over the last 5 or 10 years, or just a few years, are you growing in your admiration for God and His Word and the work He's done in your life? Is your marriage growing stronger? Does your wife feel loved? You see, men who yield to wrong influence, yeah, it shows up in other areas of their life and their responsibilities. What is your level of admiration for worldly-minded folks? You see, our level of admiration and praise and honor that we give to worldly folks, remember that who you admire is who you will imitate. Who you admire is who will influence your thinking. Well, in closing, what kind of influence are you? Are you a well-rooted tree, or are you like chaff? Does your life encourage godliness? Does it encourage respect? Does it encourage appreciation for the brotherhood? And let's be convinced this morning that our influence matters. It does. It really does. Your influence matters. And the influence that comes from each one of our lives will either negatively or positively impact eternity. It will. May God help us to be strong individuals, keep ourselves from the things of the world, and to be influencers for His kingdom. Let's kneel for prayer.